Who is this one upon whom our hopes of heaven depend? Who is Jesus?
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today, on Truths That Transform, we take a look at the urgent need to stand for Christ in our culture. What are the dangers of extracting Christianity from the public square?
The world, in my estimation, without Christianity, would be a dictatorship.
Without Jesus Christ, everything would be different.
Jesus is the force that has created the modern world.
Join us as we look at the impact of Jesus Christ on Truths That Transform.
Where can we stand as the tsunami of cultural changes threatens to sweep away our rights and liberties? Find out in Here We Stand, the new hardcover book by Dr. Frank Wright, and the companion DVD, Standing for Truth, available only through D. James Kennedy Ministries. You'll hear from frontline Christians who are standing strong.
People who took their pro-choice friends to see Unplanned, and those friends walked out pro-life.
I stood up for my values and my faith, and I said that I believe marriage should be between a man and a woman.
It's those who have the courage to stand up when the bell's tolled to say, yes, here I am.
I've got my U.S. passport, and I've got a heavenly passport. And whatever happens to this country, whatever happens to me, there's a future that goes beyond this.
We are in a pivotal moment in history, and that's why Dr. Frank Wright wrote, Here We Stand, a generational call to the radical kingdom of God, to give you biblical hope for the future and provide essential truth in a culture awash in hostility towards your Christian faith. For a generous donation of $60 or more, we will send you the DVD, Standing for Truth, plus the brand new hardcover book, Here We Stand, written by Dr. Frank Wright. Contact us today and help us stand for truth and defend your freedom.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. The so-called new atheists and other secular elites have proposed a novel theory over the past decade or so. It's the notion that religion, particularly Christianity, is a contagion that infects and destroys society. In fact, the late Christopher Hitchens titled his own best-selling atheistic screed, God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. But in truth, this stance demonstrates shocking historical and cultural ignorance. On today's program, you will discover how Christianity is the single greatest force for good that the world has ever known. And we will introduce you to some vital resources that will strengthen your faith in a time when Christianity is increasingly unwelcome in America. As we begin, our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb, who co-wrote the groundbreaking book, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born, with Dr. D. James Kennedy, takes a closer look at that very question.
I'm just going to say it. I had a terrific morning at church. I learned a lot. Did you know that back in the day, gay best friends were called apostles? And Grace, you'll be interested to know, Mary Magdalene is a derivative of the Latin word Hagdalen.
You're going to hate Leviticus.
Our religion has a lot of beautiful, profound ideas that only work if you don't look at them too closely.
Attacks on the Christian faith in one form or the other seem to be on the rise these days. But would the world be better off without Christian influence?
When you look at the positive things Christianity has done to honor their Savior in Jesus Christ, then you see that there are a lot of historical benefits that come to people on all the various levels of life, in their personal life, the meaning of the family, certainly the power of the church, and the progress of civilization.
Jesus is the force that has created the modern world.
If Jesus had never been born, we would have lost hospitals, we would have lost education, we would have lost the right for people to make their own way and make their own living. All of the benefits that we've seen in society today come from the fact that we live in a culture that was civilized by the gospel of Jesus Christ, which recognized the rights of men under God to do things that would help them to succeed and to care for one another, care for the sick and the homeless and the needy.
Because of the love of Jesus, hospitals were first created. Even to this day, many hospitals have names like Holy Cross or Baptist Hospital, reflecting their Christian origins. And many deeds of charity continue to be done around the world because of the love of Jesus in the human heart.
Well, as much as government has grown, people particularly, you know, in the surveys, Pew Research and others have shown that the more conservative you are and regular churchgoer you are, the more likely you are to give to charity. The more secular you are, the less likely you are to go to church, the more you think government should do it. And this is the Leviathan mindset of government. Those who put their faith in government instead of God think, well, we'll let government take care of these problems. We'll pay a tax to the government, and that alleviates us of any burdens.
Another example of Christian influence was the positive impact on government. This can especially be seen in the creation of America. Biblical principles applied to the state, said the 14th century reformer John Wycliffe, would ultimately lead to government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
America is the first nation built on the concept of individual self-government. That's Christ's form of government. And it's to demonstrate to the world the power of Christ to establish such a thing. It's a political miracle.
The folks who came to New England came to be a shining city on a hill. And as the great historian Sidney Mead said, we're the nation with the soul of a church. The Puritans are the definers of our national soul. We still see ourselves as that New Jerusalem, a shining city on a hill to guide, to light the way for the old world.
Even modern science has Christian origins. The founders of virtually every branch of science were Christians who believed that a rational God had created a rational universe, and it was their job as his servants to discover the laws that he had built into his own creation. But today, science is viewed as being somehow anti-God.
The heavens and earth declare the glory of God. You either have something out of nothing, which in any logical way of thought is checking your brain at the door, or something that is so greater than the something you see in the visible realm that he must be so awesome that I really need to discover how he's done this, thus science. Science only illustrates and demonstrates how awesome God is.
All of these things are just the tip of the iceberg of examples of the incredibly positive impact of Jesus, who has transformed our world. About 100 years ago, author James Russell Lowell said, "I challenge any skeptic to find a 10 square mile spot on this planet where they can live their lives in peace and safety and decency, where womanhood is honored, where infancy and old age are revered, where they can educate their children, where the gospel of Jesus Christ has not gone first to prepare the way."
The Bible is not just about my soul going to heaven. It begins with the creation. It explains who I am, why I'm here, what society is all about, how we should live, what sex is and what marriage is and what love is and what government is and what law is and what the relationship of parents and children ought to be.
Without Jesus, we would have a brutal, miserable world. With Jesus, the world is a lot better.
Despite what the secularists may say, the humble carpenter of Nazareth has changed the world in absolutely incredible ways, which is one of the many indications of the deity of Jesus. Dr. D. James Kennedy was responsible for opening many eyes to this powerful truth. And I'm joined now by his daughter and my good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad did an amazing job of preaching on the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, didn't he?
He did, Frank. And you know, he knew that there was no other figure like Christ in all of human history. My dad often reminded us that the earliest creed in the church, long before the Apostles' Creed was even formulated, was the simple sentence, "Jesus is Lord." There is so much contained in just that one simple phrase. My father never stopped reveling in and proclaiming how astonishing it is that at one time, 2,000 years ago, God himself was walking around for some 30 plus years among us. The British Bible scholar J.B. Phillips called Earth the visited planet because we were visited by God incarnate, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who is also fully human. What an amazing thought to realize that, as the Apostle John tells us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here's my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, on the vital question of who is this Jesus in this portion of his critical message, How I Know Jesus is God.
Who is Jesus Christ? Next to the question of whether or not there is a God, this is no doubt the most important question that can be urged upon the human mind. Who say ye that I am? Who is this one upon whom our hopes of heaven depend? Who is Jesus? Jesus Christ is God, not a mere created being. The Trinity does not consist of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and a creature, but of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. This is the most basic, most important, most distinctive teaching of the Christian faith, that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God in human flesh. And only Jesus claimed to be divine, and only Christianity claims its founder is divine. All historic Christian denominations, and I say it that way to merely exclude the cults, but all historic Christian churches have held that Jesus Christ was 100% divine and 100% human. He was God and he was man. He was the Theanthropos, the God-man. He said that he was the only way to heaven, that all that trusted in him would be everlastingly saved, and that if anybody denied him, that he would be denied before the Father and would be shut out from paradise. Based upon those teaching, countless millions of people suffered the agonies of the arena. They were covered with tar and lighted as torches for Nero's garden. They were placed in sacks with vipers. They were thrown to the lions. They were killed in 1,000 different ways that the depravity of man could invent. Jesus Christ also said, "I and the Father are one." And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am," indicating his eternity. In Colossians 2:9, we read, "For in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form." And the doubter Thomas, after Christ rose from the dead, when he showed him his pierced hands and side, he fell at his feet and he said, "My Lord and my God." Ho kurios mou kai theos mou, the Lord and God of me. My friend, who do you say that Jesus is? Can you say with Thomas, "My Lord and my God"? Have you come to know him as your divine Redeemer that took upon himself there at Calvary all of the guilt of all of your sins and suffered there at the hands of his own beloved Father the wrath that sin deserves, that you and I may be spared and may be taken to paradise? If you would ever live at that address which is God's, it will only be when you receive Him who is the way, the truth, and the life, and without whom no man will enter into heaven. Who do you say that Jesus is?
As Dr. Kennedy just shared, no one in the history of the world comes even close to resembling Jesus. And we might add, no one in history has had the impact that Jesus has had on humanity. But did you know that Christ and the Bible are even key components of the freedoms that we enjoy in America? William J. Federer, a good friend of this ministry, knows these things very well. He is a walking encyclopedia on Christianity and its impact on history. His work was even cited by the U.S. Supreme Court in an important case. Bill recently sat down and talked with our own John Rabe.
Bill, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. You are our expert on all things having to do with really the history of Christianity in the world and how it's affected things. On a very broad level, what kind of world would it be if Jesus Christ had never come into it?
It would be a dictatorship. The most common form of government in world history is a king. From the beginning of the invention of writing, Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley, today that's Iraq, and you have Nimrod, pharaohs, 2,000 years of pharaohs, 5,000 years of Chinese emperors, Indian Maharaja, Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, Attila the Hun. As the centuries go on, the kingdoms get bigger, till the King of England was the biggest. And America's founders decided they wanted to break away from this globalist king, and they flipped it and made the people the king.
There is a lot of false history that we're taught that tells us that America was founded as a secular nation, that we have a secular constitution, and so forth. In reality, it has been said that without Jesus Christ, there is no America. Do you think that's an accurate statement?
I do. And what I have done is I've read through every charter of every colony. Every colony was founded by a different Christian denomination. Virginia was Anglican, Massachusetts was Puritan, Rhode Island was Baptist, New York was Dutch Reformed, Delaware and New Jersey were Swedish Lutheran, Pennsylvania Quaker, Connecticut, New Hampshire Congregationalist, and they did not get along. They would tar and feather each other, but then they had to work together against the King of England during the Revolution. Afterwards, their attitude was, we may not always agree on religion, but you were willing to fight for my freedom. I need to let you practice your faith. So they began to tolerate each other.
With this idea of limited government comes the requirement of self-government. That, in other words, there has to be a control somewhere, and either the government's going to control us or we're going to control ourselves. Our founding fathers recognized that religion, as they called it, and what they, let's be honest, what they really meant was Christianity, was necessary for that self-government to take place. Help us make that connection.
At the time of the founding, 98% of the country was Protestant. About 3 million people were in the country. About 1% Catholic, about 30,000 Catholics. And Catholics were only allowed in three colonies, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New York. And there was only a tenth of a percent Jewish. 3,000 Jews in a country of 3 million. There were only 7 synagogues in the entire country at the time of the Revolution. The God of the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So you take the power of a king, separate it into the hands of the people. It's chaos unless they have internal morals. Why do they follow these? They're accountable to the God of the Bible. So when we say it's one nation under God, and obviously, as I mentioned, 98% of the country was Protestant, you know, 1% Catholic, and then a tenth of a percent Jewish, they're referring to the God of the Bible. So this is what the founders understood. They looked back to ancient Israel, the first 400 years that Israel came out of Egypt. It's called the Hebrew Republic before they got King Saul. And so it's the first instance in all of recorded history of a nation with millions of people and no king. So America's founders, specifically in colonial New England, they looked back to this period. And they said, for us to have a government without a king ruling through fear, and it's the people ruling, the people need to be taught the law. The church has a place in society to teach people the morals, the gospel, the Sermon on the Mount. And why do they follow this? They're personally accountable to God.
Thanks, Bill. We greatly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Without Jesus Christ and biblical truth, there really is no America. It's really that simple. Yet our nation is walking away from the key truths that brought us such unprecedented freedoms. According to the left-wing secular elites, Christianity and biblical truth are no longer welcome in the public square. And as Christians are silenced and the Word of God is cordoned off from the new elite societal order, our freedoms are eroding at an alarming rate. It is absolutely essential that we be equipped to stand for truth in these trying times. That's why we have produced the exclusive new DVD program, Standing for Truth. In this program, you will hear from courageous Christians who have stood up against the secular forces that now seek to rule us in their godless image. And you will be encouraged to likewise stand strong for truth in your own life. This DVD features interviews with Abby Johnson, former Planned Parenthood clinic director, who is the inspiration for the hit film Unplanned, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, and many others. We will send you this special DVD program, Standing for Truth, as our thanks for your generous donation to the crucial work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $60 or more, we will send you the DVD plus a brand new hardcover book I've written called Here We Stand, A Generational Call to the Radical Kingdom of God. This is a project I have poured my heart into because, like you, I long to see resurgence of the people of God in America and a return to our Christian roots. In this book, I prayerfully provide a roadmap for our nation and world to be one for Jesus Christ and to see a revival of God's Spirit in our land. In all humility, I think it's essential that you get hold of this book, read it, and share it with others. And as you donate, please also bear in mind that our fiscal year ends on June 30th, in just a week. We've taken steps of faith this year, including expanding our broadcast platform so that the message of truth is available to millions more people than it was before. But that comes at a very high cost. And if we cannot meet those expenses, we will be forced to make deep cuts. Friends, we don't want to do that. And so I ask you to prayerfully consider making a generous, tax-deductible donation to this ministry right now. We are standing for truth in a time when truth is in short supply, and we cannot do this without your help. If you are able to give a generous donation today, we will thank you by sending you the exclusive new DVD program, Standing for Truth, featuring Abby Johnson and Mike Huckabee, among others. And if you can donate $60 or more, we will also include my brand new hardcover book, Here We Stand, A Generational Call to the Radical Kingdom of God. It's urgent that we hear from you immediately. So please, simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. It seems as if there's almost a race among the new members of Congress to see who can be the most outrageously left-wing. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib have certainly taken some huge strides in that race. But Ilhan Omar from Minnesota is not to be outdone. She recently spoke from the floor of the House of Representatives, where she attacked conservative Christians for their pro-life stance.
Religious fundamentalists are currently trying to manipulate state laws in order to impose their beliefs on an entire society.
Of course, there is something amusingly contradictory about a woman wearing a hijab on the House floor decrying so-called religious fundamentalists. But that's not the only contradiction involved, and from her words, one guesses that Representative Omar is ignorant of the other ones. The fact that she, a Muslim woman, is able to stand in one of the nation's chief lawmaking bodies and make a speech at all is not a result of the beneficial influences of Islam. It is the direct result of a society deeply influenced by Christianity. In nations where Islamic Sharia law reigns supreme, the number of women partaking in legislative activity is, wait a minute, let me think, it's zero. In Omar's native Somalia, efforts to legally mandate female representation in the parliament have repeatedly failed. Islamic religious scholars there have denounced the female quota as a Western imposition. It's well worth noting that Americans living under the beneficial influences of Christianity generally don't uproot themselves and emigrate to Islamic countries like Somalia so they can enjoy a life of freedom. But there are plenty of people, including Congresswoman Omar's family, who leave their native Islamic nations to come here to America to try and start a new life. What's the difference? Well, one culture has been positively impacted by Jesus. The other has marginalized and even punished the Christian influence in society. You must admit, it's quite a spectacle to see someone standing on a platform built by Christianity denouncing Christian values. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
For there's no doubt in the mind of anyone who has studied historically the issue that our forefathers built a Christian nation.
The Supreme Court made itself very important by getting involved in issues that it really shouldn't have.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.